Hey, hey, what's up? This is Isu, back again. East Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 103. Today we'll be talking about day 3, San Diego Comic-Con, our con wrap-up. The con comes to a close. But before I go any further, it's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. If you've seen our videos and you listened to episode 102 in the very beginning, I had mentioned that we had a little problems with our podcast host. I don't know what the problem was. It seemed I reached out to Podbean and they were working on it. And I don't know. Sorry. It's in the morning. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't just us. It was other people that were having problems with it as well.
Right.
So I assume the problem is fixed. The last episode I uploaded was from home, so maybe it was the app that they were having problems with. But I don't know. That's what we were having problems with. But we're here to give you our day 3 wrap-up. I'm going to have to think about it. So...
yeah, I'll kick us off.
I don't remember, but go for it.
Okay. Yeah, day 3. After going pretty hard for 2 days of con, I'd have to say overall I went the hardest on day 3. I was all over the con and downtown Gaslamp. We started up the day parking the car way up at the top of Gaslamp, and I hadn't gone to... our traditional Ralph's, and just part of me, like, I don't think there had been a con in my years of con that I hadn't gone, so I just wanted to make sure I checked that off the list, as silly as it was. But I went in there and I took pictures. They still had the Watto statue, which goes all the way back to the first con I remember, I think 2007, year one, for me. So it was cool to see they still had the Watto statue. They got a Yoda statue. And a Wonder Woman mannequin. So, yeah, that was cool to see. Picked up a couple drinks for the day and checked that off in the schedule list. And but then, yeah, headed down straight to the con, into the convention, and had a couple things I wanted to do. Hadn't yet got a Katie Cook sketch. Headed first thing to her line, but it wasn't right when the doors opened up and her line was already capped. And I can skip the rest of the story when it comes to her, because I checked at least three or four more times throughout the day, and the line was always capped. And one of the problems was, I don't know if it's like every hour, but they do switch out like the line attendants. So it wasn't like the person was like, oh, yeah, it's you again. Like, go ahead. You know, get in line. And it's always different people. So I did not get a Katie Cook mini painting this year. I was going to get this Nez, but maybe next time. And, you know, we'll see. It would do so much, you know, more as far as being close to the con. We talked about that a lot, especially on the drive home, about wanting to get closer to the con, get a hotel there so you can drop stuff off, take a minute, do what you need to do, and not be carrying stuff all day. But, you know, it is what it is. As far as the rest of the floor, I got over to the PlayStation counter. And they had a little, I don't know if you've seen these, Nez. They're like Neandroids. There's these collectibles. I think they're Japanese. They've done a lot for like Overwatch, and they've done some Disney ones. But they can, like, you can switch out the faceplate, and they're capable of all these, like, switch out and make them look all different. Have you seen those? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, they had one. I've been curious for a while. And the only thing that's been holding me back is they're like $50. Like, even at Target, they have them in the video game section. They have the Overwatch ones, and they're $50. So I'm like, I'm not even that into Overwatch, so I'm definitely not going to drop $50 on one of those. But PlayStation booth had a Nathan Drake one from Uncharted, and I love that game. So I went over there, and it appeared to be, like, no problem. Like, there was no line at that booth. And they didn't have it, like, X'd out on their board or anything. But I was like, I didn't want to carry it around all day. And I was like, do you have the line of the Drake, because I don't want to carry it around all day and get it messed up. I'll get pick it up at the end of the day if you've got a bunch, but I just want to make sure. And they're like, oh no, we're sold out. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, that went pretty fast. I was like, oh, okay. So that went off. And then as far as I wanted to make sure being the third and our final day to I had been scouting comic book booths, but I decided I better pick up at least something. It is Comic-Con after all. So went by one of the booths, and I usually don't like to pay over cover price even for variants, but they had this really cool Snoke art cover of Darth Vader 13. Supreme Leader Snoke, First Order Leader, and cover price was $3.99. They had six on it, so $2 more, and I was like, well, I hadn't seen this anywhere else, and the cool covers, so I got that and a Scotty Young variant of an Avengers issue from a couple years ago, Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill, and that's the Pleasant Hill in the Bay Area, Concord area, so if you're familiar with that, this was the storyline that led to the old Cap. The Cosmic Cube was used on him and he returned young, but little did the Marvel Universe know that it was like the Red Skull's daughter that did it to him and rewrote his history and made him Hydra Cap. So this was like the storyline right before that. So this was a while back, a couple of years ago, and it was nice. I actually got it for $4, and the cover price is $4.99. So $10 for those two issues. So yeah, happy with what I got there as far as get some comics. And then Pops, I wanted to get like a Pop deal, and I got a pretty good deal. There's a whole new wave of Last Jedi out, and I found a booth. They were doing four Pops for $35, so under $10 each. That's solid. I got the Caretaker, Paige, Kai Thranalli, and they didn't have the Sad Ford or the Luke Skywalker, which I ended up finding later on the way home. But they had a Monster Hunter from the game, Monster Hunter. And while I only rented that game once for one day, he looks really super cool. He's got this huge sword. He looks like Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, so that was cool, but just to put a wrap up on the floor, Nez, I'll leave some of this for you to speak on too. But met up with Nez, and we looked around the floor. We got some photo ops. One of my favorite ones, and if you follow the Nez on Facebook or Instagram, you've seen it. Me with Grimace as Thanos and a Doctor Strange Jack in the Box. The fast food restaurant. I loved those two. Those are probably my two favorite costumes I saw at the con. But yeah, we went around, we shot a little video you might have seen, so that was good to do. But then, yeah, as far as out and about, I was over at the FX Experience picking up the bag that me and Jade made. You got to pick a saying and a show. I picked Atlanta, and the quote, "Everything made up, stay woke," and it has TMV, my initials, on it, so that's cool, and that's custom. Jade picked Always Sunny in Philly, and hers says Wild Card, so that's cool. And came with we got to pick out a bunch of buttons once we picked that up, too. Sunny, Atlanta, Snowfall, all the FX shows, Legion, all that. So made my way over to where they had the Cloak and Dagger Experience I previously talked about, and met up with Renee and Eric, and just in time to spin the wheel at this Battlegrounds, Player Unknowns Battlegrounds thing, and luckily I showed up just in time because Jade and Renee spun the wheel and got nothing, and I spun and I got, I think, like 3 months Xbox Live, so I was happy to hook Eric up with that because I don't have Xbox, so I'm glad I was there in time for that. But then I got the notification that Amazon was doing a treasure truck, and they were doing it all the way basically on the other side of the gas lamp at the mall. So I trekked all the way up there, and I got that. And it's really cool chicken Deadpool. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you've probably already seen it. But I love this pop. It's for sure going to be in my end of the year top 10. So cool. Love everything about it. And then finally, I guess I think the big topper of the day was going to Petco Park and the Impractical Jokers experience. I was really hoping to get an autograph session, even more for myself. I've had these like DVD covers I've wanted them to sign for a few years now. I think I had them all the way back the second year we saw them do stand up. But the first time, I didn't get a chance to do it at the breakfast, and then I forgot to bring them to the stand up show. So I've had these things forever. I wanted to get signed by them, but it was a little bit of a mess. At first, they like had people lining up, and they were like, "This is no line," and they chased everybody away. A new line formed, and I was like, "Oh, what's going on?" The people from the first line were like up on the hill, kind of watching. And then all of a sudden, from like the middle of the line, basically, they opened it and everybody kind of just flowed in. I actually almost made it in. I was like three or four people away from sneaking in, but that's okay. Hopefully get backstage, see him one time. But there was lots of other stuff to do and enjoy at the Joker's thing. Food and sumo suits. Did that a couple years ago with Lulu. First time I got to do it against Jade, so that was fun to finally do that. She loved the first video, so it was fun for her to finally take part in that. But overall, it was just a lot of fun there. And all that together, like I said, I was just constantly on the move. I didn't really stop at all that Saturday. So I think once the Joker's thing went out, I think that's when we headed out of town. So in a ways, it was a little bit of a early finish to the night, but it was fine because I pretty much had not stopped moving that entire day. So, and it was a fitting way to bring it into the con for me after missing last year and in the 10-year streak. So yeah, clear the runway for you, Nez.
Kind of organizing some of the stuff that I picked up.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So we. But I mean, before I go any further, I mean, again, I got to give a shout out to our host Lauren for letting us take over his house. A few days. It was a nice place out in, I believe, Mission Bay. The ocean on one side, like maybe a block away, and then not even half a block from the bay. And it was nice. Parking,
nice setup.
Parking was a little iffy, but we lucked out. But it was awesome, man. I was glad we had somewhere to rest our heads, because we just couldn't get anything. Hopefully we'll have more chances for next year, because this was the last year Eric was free, so
right,
he'll be in the hotel roundup as well as everyone else that was with us. So but again, Lauren, thanks, brother. It was awesome to crash there, and I will see you next time you come up to Reno. And
yeah, shout out.
Man, we...
just real quick, before you get into your thing, I just wanted to say about that. The last day we were there, me and Jade made a point to go out to the beach area. It was super nice. It seriously was a block away. And it was pretty unbelievable. The water was pretty warm, right, Jade?
Yeah, it was exactly like you think about like SoCal beaches. It was exactly like that. It was warm and everything.
Right. So, yeah, solid. And I almost wish we would have had a little time to explore even more and check out some of the restaurants, but at least the coffee shop, dang, like, every time I went in there was a line out the door. So, yeah, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice area. I mean, we didn't really explore much. We just kind of went to the place, and we were wrecked. by the end of the day, and then we got up early every day. So next time I venture down there, I'm gonna have to go back to that area and cruise around. But we got to the con. We parked at this one place pretty every day because it was the cheapest. Because it was pretty far from the convention, but it was right on the shuttle route, so that was cool. But I did walk a few times, and Saturday was one of the days that I walked all the way to the con. But along the way, the Zisu, we were all together, and then he went his way to Ralph's, and I forgot my glasses. So I had to go back to the car, and I just told Renee and Jay and Eric to just go on without me. So they took off. And as I was walking along, I was like, you know what? I haven't gone to the Horton Plaza. It's like an outdoor shopping center. I want to say like 3-4 floors. And I just, you know, I'm just going to walk through here and see what's going on, because I know there was a hot topic. I was going to stop in there. But as soon as I got up to the top of the escalator, I saw the FYE. Is that always there, or was that a pop-up shop?
Yeah, there is an FYE there, but that pop-up shop, that was just for the con. So, yeah, as of right now, yeah, it's gone.
Oh, okay. So, well, luckily I went there because I had totally forgotten about it. I went in there and looked around. They did have a lot of their exclusives. There was one thing I wanted to go back and get, but I just totally forgot about it. And that was a two-pack of the Hardy Boys. I think it was the Elite Squad edition. But I'm sure that's going to be everywhere. So, but as I was looking around, I remember the Zisu mentioning that Funko, they came out with some cereal brands. I know they have a few different boxes. I know they're the ones that did the Bootios for WWE's the New Day. I know they did that. Because they also had those in there. I was like, dang it, I should have bought a box of those. But I've seen those other way. I can go down to another FYE and pick that up. They probably have other ones. I'm sure there's these cereal boxes just came out. And I picked up the Jason Voorhees Friday the 13th edition. Tasty treat, fun to eat. There's an FYE exclusive pocket pop in it. And it's the Jason pop, which is cool. No, that's something else. But I do have this the bigger version of it, and awesome to have this little version. I haven't opened my box yet, but I'm going to. Of course, I'm going to eat the cereal. I'm not going to just let it get stale in here.
Right.
But it's cool, man. I mean, it's cool that they jumped on it. I had no idea that they were going to do these cereal boxes. There's also a Freddy Krueger one. And shout out to Brian from The Horror Returns. He ordered a box for me, and it's on its way. So, hey, Brian, man, thanks a lot. But this is sweet. You guys all know how much of a Friday the 13th and Jason fan I am. So this is something that was a must-have for me in my collection. The little pop inside the box. I'm probably going to open it from the bottom, so the box top won't will be unopened. So, but I will eat this cereal. So, but that was pretty sweet. That was the first thing I picked up Saturday. So then I just ventured along, just walking down the street and just seeing all the cosplayers and everybody. It was getting pretty warm. By the time I was walking down the road, we kind of had a late start. There was nothing really we wanted to rush to on Saturday to get there early. So I kind of ventured around outside for a while because I let Renee and Eric go in first, and then I just bummed around and ran into some friends and got a slice of pizza. I must have got the the leftover round because the pizza was cold. I was like, oh man, they were pulling pizzas out of there left and right, but I think I had the last of the batch. So, but it was all right. Pizza was still good. I walked around some more and was just looking at everything. And then eventually I went inside and I just started looking around some more. And while I was inside, I really looked around. I was just mainly on the lookout for some pops that I wanted. I wanted the Grady twins, the twins from The Shining. The only one I saw was the Chase, and that was $250, and no thank you. All I want is the regular one, and nobody had it.
Right.
So there was a couple of ones I wanted to pick up, but I just totally forgot about them. I'll eventually pick those up somewhere. But so I ventured around some more. I couldn't find any Friday the 13th stuff I wanted. I couldn't find any. Everything that I did see, I already had. So, sorry about the yawning, but so I ventured on, and I happened to I came across I didn't come across him. I went up to his booth, the Geekscape booth, and I was talking to Matt Kelly from Horror Movie Night, and I got a few words from him. So that was awesome. So I'm going to throw that. Instead of doing my MacNiz show, I'm going to throw that on here. So here's Matt Kelly and from the Horror Movie Night. Yo, guys, I'm back. Still, this is our final day here in San Diego Comic-Con, day 3. You heard him last year, and I think it was the last time that I had seen him. We got Matt Kelly from the Do Your Introduction
Horror Movie Night podcast.
Yes, man, awesome show. If you guys have not checked it out yet, I know some of you have because you guys have gotten back to me and told me that you listened to it after the interview from last year. And it's been a year, man. So what's been going on with other than yourself and the show?
I mean, I'm doing all right. The show's been doing great. And we keep growing. We finished 3 years. We did 150 episodes so far. We're going to just keep going at this point. July's like a little bit, it's like a pseudo hiatus, I guess. We've been putting out stuff that we've been sitting on. So the first time Scott and I ever talked, we busted that out of Vault and put that up. A couple live episodes we recorded way back in March and never released. And then in August, we'll be back with some brand new episodes I'm very excited about. It's going well. And then I'm excited to see, I sat down with the Monster Squad today. They were signing at our booth. And I found out that not only am I in the documentary, but I have they call it a bottom third. So it'll say Matt Kelly Horror Movie Night underneath me. So I'm excited to see if that drives any traffic to the podcast as well. But, you know, we keep growing. We're working with, I had a couple interesting talks with some people that can help us a whole bunch. We launched our new shirt, We're With the Band, with the Puppet Masters. So I got that into the hands of Charles Band, who loved it. He wants to take photos of it, put it on his Facebook feed with a link to our website. So I got to make sure we get that picture up as quickly as possible. I might even text Scott and tell him, like, yo, put that on the website, like, right now. In fact, I'll probably do this as soon as we're done this, just in case, because usually we like to get a picture of someone wearing it, but at this point, we probably need that up there ASAP. So, I mean, it's going well. It's going well. How's the show going for you?
We're doing good. For both of my shows, my solo show as well as the East Society, we're both over 100 episodes now, just
that's
recently.
Fantastic. It's not easy, dude. It's
no.
Hitting 100, you're like, oh, I got to do this more, though, right?
The E Society was pretty simple because I'm just a co-host, so I'm going back and forth with my buddy. But for my solo show, coming up with content was...
Yeah, oh, finally. Solo shows are the worst. There's a reason why every podcast I do now, except for the Boy Meets World podcast, is like a trio of people. I don't have to rely on guests. I don't have to rely on... It's just the three people talking. Cool. That's easy. And the Boy Meets World one, that I only have to record 22 of them in a year. So I just record a bunch of them way early in advance, and then I don't have to worry about it. It's, I did solo shows for about 5 or 6 years, and that was never again.
Because right now for my MacNiz show, I have a few ready to go. I just need to put them out.
Yeah.
But it's going to be after all of this. I know I have some, but East Society, that's a weekly show, so yeah. I never have to worry about that. But as far as the other guys, I mean, what's going on with them other than doing the show with you?
So, I mean, so this year we had a new co-host, Adam and us parted ways. It was a very mutual decision. And Brian, my little brother, took over. So Brian is kind of, I mean, he does all of his focus right now is his work. He does marketing and stuff for rehab facilities down in Florida, which is really, really cool. But on the side, he does sketch comedy. That's been put on hold a little bit, but I think that that's going to be coming back soon. He's been taking a lot of improv classes, so I'm excited to see where that leads. And then Scott just cranks out music like no one's business at this point. He has more albums than I know what to name. The big one is Console Crash, consolecrash.bandcamp. There's a ton of great albums in there. We actually gave one of the albums to Ryan Turek, the producer of the new Halloween movie through Blumhouse. And I even played him a clip of Scott's version of the Halloween theme, and he was like, this is great. So, you know, Scott's constantly putting himself out there, constantly trying to, you know, score more stuff. He's done a bunch of podcast theme songs. Geekscape keeps growing. Stephen Bay, one of the regular guys on the Facebook page for Horror Movie Night, his show just got picked up by Geekscape. So Analog Jones is going to be shifting over to Geekscape. So it's just been growing. It's great. We're all. It's like a giant collective of very creative people who can't stop working. So you know, like Geek. You know, while we're taking this July hiatus, I'm like recording Boy Meets World podcast. I'm working on the Disneyto podcast. I just keep diving in all these other projects, keeping my hands dirty at all times.
Disneyto, that's something new because that you weren't doing that before when I met you last year.
No, this is only 11 episodes deep right now. It's two of my coworkers that I thought were very, very funny. So I produce a show for them where they get drunk on wine and talk about Disney. It's very charming. The newest episode is them fighting over what the best Disney Channel original movie was. So it's very entertaining listening to them. I believe we're the only Disney podcast with an explicit warning on iTunes, which is a real claim and claim to fame for me.
I think my favorite Disney, right? I mean, other than animated ones, I think Rescuers is my favorite, the first one.
All right.
And as far as the live movies, going back to the old ones, I would say Escape.
From
Witch Mountain. I love that one.
See, for me, I think animated, it's really difficult for me to choose. Live action, it's Mary Poppins all the way. I just feel a very strong emotion every time I watch Mary Poppins. Animated, it falls into so many different categories. Like Jungle Book, I feel very nostalgic for. It was a movie my dad and I used to watch all the time, and I loved it as a kid. So, like, from the classic movies, I love that. But I also really love Sword in the Stone, which I feel like doesn't get talked about that much. But I mean, I guess if I had to pick an all-time favorite, it would end up being Little Mermaid. I think Little Mermaid is just that perfect intersection of like amazing music, because you've got the team that did Little Shop of Horrors doing all of the songs. You've got the Disney Renaissance, which is like probably the peak creative period in Disney's history, where all of these young, hungry artists who felt like they weren't being treated properly just said, fuck it, we're going to do what we want, and did this beautifully drawn movie. I just think, I to this day believe Part of Your World is the best song that's ever appeared in a Disney animated film. It's just so touching. And I recently discovered on my own by listening that the end of Part of Your World is literally note for note the end of Somewhere That's Green from Little Shop of Horrors, and it blew my mind. But Little Mermaid's probably the big one, but that show's doing well. It's doing well. It's still very much in its infancy.
Do you have a Golden Dildo, a VHS?
Somewhere, I'm sure. That's definitely a topic that we've talked about, is doing a Disneyto episode about hidden filth in Disney films.
Speaking of hidden filth, I've noticed one of the Lion King, when that first came out, when Simba falls down in the dust, so, and sex pops out.
So what it actually says, it definitely looks like sex. They've admitted it. It actually looks, it's supposed to say SFX for special effects, because it was the first Disney film that they started using the computer animated special effects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that F looks, it's not the best If you're trying to show off how pristine and clear special effects look like, your F looks like an E.
And the Aladdin part, when they're saying that Aladdin's telling Jasmine, take off your clothes.
Yeah, I mean, that one I can't decide for. There is also, you brought up the rescuers, there's the undeniable naked woman that's in the rescuers in a window. And that's 100% factual. You can go on Snopes and they have the screenshots of it. There's a lot of hidden filth in there. So I think it would be a fun episode. I'll probably do a bunch of... It's funny because I'm not even the host of the show, but I do all the research. So, because they're drinking. So, like, I'll do all the research and then I'll either present them with a topic and then I walk away. Like, I don't even participate when they're just debating a topic. But then stuff like that, I do a bunch of the research and then present the research to them as they, like, react to it and discuss different elements of it and debate. So I'm still kind of part of it, but I try not to be too much if I can avoid it.
Song of the South.
Yeah, that's a whole episode in itself. But it gave us Zippity-Doo-Dah, so it can't be all bad. Yeah. That's a great jam.
As far as they're starting to live action all these classic movies, like the new one that's coming, Dumbo, directed by Tim Burton. Are they getting away from Timothy? Or?
No, I feel differently. I think Tim Burton's been striking out a whole lot in the last couple of years. But Dumbo kind of reminded me a lot of Big Fish, which was the last Tim Burton movie I really loved. So I'm hoping that it's a lot more Big Fish and a lot less like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Sweeney Todd. But I mean, it looks promising. The second I heard Baby Mine start playing in the trailer, I got that little tear because that, if Part of Your World's the best song in Disney history, Baby Mine is easily the saddest song in Disney history.
I mean, but it seems like they're getting away from like the talking animals because the trailer that I've seen, there's no Timothy.
There's no talking rats or they don't show any. I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that they go Lion King style or Jungle Book style and do, because the Jungle Book trailer as far as I recall, I don't remember being like, oh, the animals talk in this. I thought it was just going to be like that Jungle Book they made in like 94 where it was just a live action kid with like a panther just walking around with no talking. And I hated it as a kid.
Because right now, I mean, in the whole the PC world that we have right now, do you think they're going to put the part with the crows?
I don't think Jim Crow is going to make it. No, I mean, they'll have someone sing the I Believe About Anything When I See an Elephant Fly, but I don't think it's going to be sung by a jive-talking crow. the perfect intersection of my podcasting worlds is all of the news right now with James Gunn, so I don't think, if they're going to fire James Gunn over some 14-year-old tweets, I don't think they're going to bring up some 50-year-old racism into their new movie.
I mean, I think out of those live-action ones, I loved all of them. The last one I saw was Beauty and the Beast. I was late to the party on that one.
I thought that was... And I know some people who hate that movie, but, like, for me, when she started singing the opening song, when Emma Watson, like, walked out of the house, and I was just like, I am literally just watching a recreation of one of my favorite animated films with people. I was like, this is gorgeous. I don't understand how anyone could hate that live-action movie.
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was good. Jungle Book was amazing. But
I still haven't seen that one, but I'm told it's great.
That one's good. I didn't like Peach Dragon. I love the live-action animated one, and I loved all the songs in that. This new one, which came out a few years ago, I just couldn't get behind it.
I need to rewatch Peach Dragon. I remember watching it as a kid, and I think that there wasn't enough dragon in it to hold my interest as a child. Because he's invisible for like large chunks of that movie. But I started to really fall in love with the songs in later years. It's Not Easy, I think, is a great jam. I think it's Candle on the Water is another one from that. And those songs are just really pretty. So I wanted to see the new Peach Dragon, but I wanted to revisit the old one first, and I haven't gotten around to it just yet.
Because I wanted all those songs, and the Paz and McQuaddy song, yeah. I wanted, and there was none of that. And I don't know. I mean, my younger guys, they liked it because their Peach Dragon. Was their Peach Dragon. But for me, I just couldn't do it.
I'm really nervous about what they're doing with Mulan right now. All of the changes there. I mean, and I don't even think Mulan's that good of a movie. But I think Mulan has one of the better soundtracks, and to like pull all of the music is blasphemy to me. But I mean that, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Disney makes some questionable decisions sometimes, unfortunately. James Gunn again was just...
Yeah.
That's been the... the two big talks of Comic-Con for us have been the death of John Schnepp and the James Gunn controversy. And I think everyone's all on the same playing field where John was a great guy and this is a tragedy, and James is being treated very unfairly for a guy who made movies that were far more offensive than the tweets that he wrote.
Yeah. Getting away from Disney back to horror, especially here at Comic-Con, there's so much stuff. A lot of indie stuff going on. But I think one of the two biggest things right now were The Nun and the new Halloween. Yeah. What are your takes on both of those?
I thought The Nun was supposed to come out in July, and then I saw it was coming out in September. So I don't know if I just got the wrong information or if it got pushed back recently. I'll see it. But I'm way more excited for the new Halloween. The new Halloween trailer is great. There's this poster that's super hard to come by at this convention that looks amazing.
I got one.
Oh, man. The guys at Monster Squad were looking for one, and we couldn't figure out what booth it was at.
It is right down here. I want to say... I can't remember. I know it's right over here. It's not very far. When we're done with this, we'll walk over there.
Okay, sounds good. I'll grab one.
I'm all for it. I mean, at first I wasn't, but then...
That trailer won me over, though, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like Blumhouse... I mean, some of their stuff has still been a disappointment, but overall, Blumhouse has been pretty on top of their shit this year. I think this has been the best, like, two-year run of mainstream horror that I can recall in years. Just between, you know, Quiet Place and Hereditary and the It movie, and I thought Happy Death Day was really great. I know I'm forgetting something else. Get Out. There was just a bunch of really good mainstream horror that came out this year.
I think the last two ones, Hereditary and the one that was shot with the iPhone, Unsane. What did you think of those?
Unsane I thought was really good. I don't know if I would ever revisit it, but I definitely loved seeing it. I was glad I saw it. Did you see the Scream Factory announcements, though?
Which ones?
Like that came out last night?
Oh, no, I didn't.
So they're putting out... They're putting out the entire Critters collection on a box set. They got Urban Legends 1 and 2 coming out. They got Dracula, Prince of Darkness, Starman from John Carpenter.
The Christopher Lee, Prince of Darkness?
Yeah. Oh. They're putting out Candyman, Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. There's a bunch of great stuff coming out. It was probably the longest list I've ever heard them read.
I think out of them, so this con... That's where I spent most of my money.
Dude, Scream is fantastic. Scream Factory does great work. The other big announcement was actually on the Shout side, which had the biggest reaction, is they're doing a giant collector's edition release of The Jerk.
And, ooh, nice.
And one of the special features is going to be a 40-minute sit-down conversation between Steve Martin and Carl Reiner.
Whoa, like a new one? Or
like just, yeah, in Carl's house, they just shot the two of them sitting talking about the old days.
Wow. I mean, I love that.
I have The Jerk on DVD, and it is the most bare bones release. They said they want to make up for that. They want to do as much as they can, like the commentaries and the bonus features and all the things that The Jerk deserves. Jerk does not deserve a DVD release that's just the movie and a trailer.
Yeah, I remember seeing that trailer for the first time when they re-released the original Star Wars. They showed The Jerk trailer first, then right after... They shocked the whole audience when Empire Strikes Back trailer for the first time.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so good.
But, hey, man, dude, Matt, it's always good to see you. I know we'll see each other again, brother.
Absolutely.
Let everyone know where they can listen to your show or get a contact if they want to get a hold of you.
If you want to hear a bunch of drunk people talk about Disney, you go to DisneyDoPodcast.com. And if you want to hear about horror movies from the 80s and 90s that are of varying levels of quality, HMNPodcast.com are the spots that you want to check out.
All right, man. You guys heard that. Do check out all the shows and everything that is Matt Kelly. But, brother, right on, man. Thank you so much for doing this. And, again, we'll be back next year for another interview.
Absolutely. I'm never going to miss this.
Right on.
Right on, Matt, dude. Man, it was awesome to see you. I had met him last year. I've been listening to their podcast for over a year now. But when I met him, First time I met him was last year, so it was good to see him and catch up and everything. So we did a lot of a little bit of horror, but we did go into a lot of Disney stuff. So you guys just heard it, so I won't go into any explanation. So but anyway, Matt, dude, right on, brother. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. And we'll see each other again next year, or if I ever venture out to Philadelphia. Most likely I will. I think that's someplace I want to do. I want to I need to train for this before I go running up the Rocky steps to that museum.
So nice.
I'm going to have to train. I might have to train for that. And I'm really going to have to
You're going to have to play the music.
Yeah. I'm really going to have to train for next year. San Diego. We did walk a lot. I mean, we did. And there was times where I was, but I just kept going. I just kind of put my mind that I'm going to do a lot of walking, and I did it. But I felt it every morning we woke up.
And no doubt.
Every time we got out of the car, I felt it in my legs. But then after talking to Matt and getting the interview with him, I walked around some more. I went in, and then I went outside. I went over to the Marriott, and I walked in there, and I caught some of the Grease sing-along. I went in there. I love Grease. Awesome film. And there was not that many people in there. I took a picture. I haven't posted it yet, but I will. I think on the right side of the room, it wasn't a pretty big room. It was me and like three other people were sitting there. And usually I've been to a Grease sing-along before, and everybody gets into it. Everyone's loud. Everybody's hyped. But this crowd was just like the whispering Grease sing-along. And I was like, I mean, I was singing, but I didn't want to be the one to be the loudest singer in there, because everyone else was kind of like humming along and singing. I was like, man, this is weak. I watched it up to the part that I wanted to see. I came in right when they started Grease Lightning, and then I left right after John Travolta did Sandy. So I pretty much saw the whole middle of the film. But it was cool. I mean, I love that movie. I mean, awesome to see it on a big giant screen. And shout out to the guys that were in there running the whole thing. They looked like they were about to fall asleep. It looks like they just turned the movie on and just leaned their heads back. But it was cool. I walked around the Marriott some more. There was all kinds of stuff going on there. There was some kind of Nintendo thing, but it was packed in there. I mean, I kind of just poked around. I couldn't see much, so I got out of there. There was a whole side that I had never seen before of that hotel. That's where the screenings were. There was more panels, and that's where the whole Nintendo thing was. So that was cool. After that, I walked back into the convention center, and what else did I do? I know I walked around some. Oh, that was when I hooked up with you when we went in.
Right.
Zisa and I went in, and then we took the opportunity to get some photo ops and everything. I threw all those on there. I know I have a ton more pictures. I'd have to go through them all, but the ones I did throw up were pretty sweet. The ones we did together in the tops card for the Star Wars one, that one was awesome. If you guys have seen that one. We're both holding blasters, and someone asked me, well, what are you wearing? I'm wearing Lando's cape. So that was awesome. They had like a bucket of stuff. I know there was lightsaber, not the good lightsabers, one of those little cheap retractable ones, and two blasters and all that. So that was pretty sweet. We also did the Marvel Legends Avengers package box with the Thanos when we got the Infinity Gauntlet, which was cool. And if you look at it, one of the stones is missing. I didn't realize that until Eric and the Zizu here said that he was holding it. And I was like, okay. So that's when I had to look at the picture. So that was pretty sweet. There was this cool little cosplayer kid in there, man. he was a Juggernaut from Deadpool 2. I thought that was pretty awesome. That was when we were standing by the Marvel Legends package photo op thing. So that was pretty sweet, man. I liked how he looked, and he even had a little Deadpool that he had ripped in half. He posed with the picture. Somebody took a picture of him, and they must have tagged Ryan Reynolds on Twitter with it, and he'd seen it, and he retweeted it, and a jillion people liked it and retweeted, so that was pretty awesome. Speaking of cosplay, I mean, I saw, while I was outside walking around, I saw a lot, man. I saw three Jasons. I forgot to take picture of the third one. I tried to get, he was actually in a whole group of killers. They had Leatherface, Freddy Krueger, the Ghostface from Scream, and Michael Myers. I thought that was cool, but the two guys that I took pictures that were dressed up was one of them was Jason from Part 6, and the other one was from the reboot of Friday the 13th. So that was pretty cool. I caught another good cosplayer outside, man, but I'm sure he was sweating his balls off. I mean, everybody that dressed in cosplay, man, it was pretty warm down there. And a lot of people that dress up like the Game of Thrones guys with their big old heavy cloaks on. I'm like, I don't know how you can walk from one end of the block to the other without passing out from the heat. But this one I saw was pretty cool. It wasn't Game of Thrones. It was Star Wars. It was duct tape Chewbacca. It was just brown duct tape. I mean, it was a cool idea, man. And everybody was stopping to take pictures of him. So that was pretty sweet. And this cool Optimus Prime I saw, I took a video, but the video was kind of crappy. So luckily I got one good shot out of it. He was walking up the street, and he's the old school Optimus Prime from the 80s. So that was cool. What were the other ones? Who are the people that does Paranorman and Coraline?
Oh, Lakai?
Yeah, they had their characters walking around. I got a cool picture with Eric with Coraline and Paranorman. So that one was pretty
sweet.
Yeah, that
was awesome.
There was an awesome Edward Scissorhands, but it was a young lady. I just wrote Edwina Scissorhands. She looked awesome. I liked how she did it. Well, luckily she was walking through doors that slid open, because I don't think she could get through anything. And I'm just noticing, looking at the picture right now, she has one of those boots on your leg, like if you broke your leg or sprained your ankle or something. So, hey, big ups to you for walking around in that boot, because I had one of those boots on and it was not comfortable. And shout out to everybody I did see walking around the con in those boots. Like, there's no kind of give in those things, because the whole point of it was to try to keep your legs straight and everything. Oh, my God. People were walking and walking. I'll give it to them. And then we always got to go back to the one Zisu mentioned. Grimos is what he was called. The Grimace, the Grimace from McDonald's and Thanos mashup. I thought that was pretty sweet. I did some looking up online. This guy, he goes to cons all over the place, and everybody loves this. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, no doubt. Loved it.
And the Doctor Strange Jack in the Box mashup, that one was pretty awesome too. I liked his little goatee and everything. So, that was when I was walking around outside. I know I have some more cosplayers. I know I saw Darth Maul, and this is when he was Darth Maul and the Emperor. I thought that was cool. Or Darth Sidious. I think that's what he was at that time. Tons of stormtroopers. I took a picture of a few of them. I had some shadow troopers that Eric posed with. I know I have more. I'd have to go through my phone. But after the Zisu and I walked around, we did film a video. I'm going to throw that up on the Facebook page. I haven't done it yet. I need to edit like maybe a few seconds in the beginning, because I think I just started my camera and just dead air of nothing.
Right.
And sorry for a lot of my fat neck and chin shots.
Don't worry about it.
Because I was the way I was holding it out in front of me. I always thought those people looking stupid holding those little sticks. And I take all that back because filming that video, holding my arm out like that, oh, man, my arm was killing me. I think we did it for like 7 or 8 minutes. But
right.
It was cool, though, man. It was fun. We got Toxie in there, and I don't know. I don't remember what else. But, yeah, definitely I'm going to throw that on a Facebook page. So after we kind of walked around, I think you took off, didn't you? Or did we both go outside?
Yeah, I forgot a huge piece, if I could jump in. I rushed to, after we filmed that video, I rushed to meet up with Renee and Eric. They were in line for the Castle Rock experience. And I kept getting messages. They were like, I don't know, we turned the corner. Like, I don't know. If it's good. I'm like, I'm rushing. And I really was. I was busting over there, and I finally got to the front of the experience, and they had closed it, and I was like, yeah, but my family, they're down there, like they're already in though, and they're like, yeah, sorry, and I was like, well, okay, fine, I'd give up. But then as I was walking away, I noticed you could see the front of it, and I was like, well, let me take a picture. And then I saw the line on the side of the thing, and I was like, well, let me go at least say hi. And I went over there, and there just happened to be Hulu employees. They were standing right by some, and I was like, hi. And then they're like, oh, yeah, this is our family right here. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, come in. Like, just go right down there and tell him. And then I went down to the corner, and they're like, nope, I don't know. What'd you do? Like, no, you can't come. And then I was like, yeah, but see the Hulu person. They're like, yeah, maybe check on the other side. And so passed back by them, and they're like, yeah, you said check the other side. They're like, yeah, that's fine with me, but you can't come in this way. I was like, well, let me go back one more time. And I was like, yeah, they said, okay, but this is the way I need to come in. And he's like, oh, I don't know about that. I got somebody else. Finally, it was just this whole misdirection thing. But long story short, I finally made my way in, which was nice. And thank you to Renee and Eric for putting the time in, because I probably spent another just 20 minutes in line with them. And then we were up, and I got some video of that experience, so I don't need to go into every detail of it, but it was well done. It was basically like a haunted house full of moments from Stephen King. There's this moment where we're like under the water, it felt like, and we saw the balloon from It, and then a character that looked like Georgie kind of ran up and scared us. So, and there was a bunch of other stuff that happened in there. It was like Shawshank Prison, so it was like all that stuff. And actually, as of we're recording this right now, Castle Rock, the first 3 episodes just went up on Hulu. So looking forward to checking that out later today. But yeah, that was an amazing experience. So yeah, glad I got to do that. And, yeah, I can't forget to mention it. So thanks, Nez, for letting me jump back into your story.
Yeah, I stuck around inside. And then I think that was it. It was coming down to the end of the day, because they were getting ready to they start doing the announcements that you guys got to get out. So
right.
I walked around until I think like maybe 15, 20 minutes before 7. I went outside. I was getting notification tweets from the new Halloween movie that's coming out in October. And there was these posters, exclusive posters that they were giving away down there. And I didn't know where to get them. And then they put out a tweet. This was a little earlier in the day. They put out a tweet saying that, hey, if you go to whatever booth, you'll get to meet the artist and he'll sign your poster. So I ran over there really quick, and they were giving out tickets or wristbands or whatever for the signing. And they said, oh, sorry, those were all gone this morning. And we're like, they just literally put out a tweet like not even 5 minutes ago. They're like, yeah, we saw that. I don't know why they did that, but we gave those tickets away like hours ago, like when the con first opened. I was like, man, weak. So
weak.
But I did get a poster, so that was cool. And then that's when I continued walking around and all the stuff with the Zisu. But Jumping back forward to when I walked out, Kevin Smith was doing an evening with Kevin Smith and Hall H. So I started walking down that way to I was just going to go in there and check out the show. But then while I was in the line, they were letting people into Hall H because I'm sure it cleared out already. So I was about to start walking in, and I got another notification from the Halloween people saying that, hey, Michael Myers is standing on 4th and K Street or whatever it was.
Sounds right.
So I was like, man, because I had seen the other day, I think it was Thursday when we left, I started getting notifications like, go over by the bridge, by the Hilton, and get a poster for Michael Myers and tag us in your picture and this and that. So I was like, all right, cool. So I raced over there before he ran off. I know I texted Renee because she had asked me where I was. I said, well, if you're near this area, go over there and get a poster or something like that. Or I think I told her I was going that way. She had asked me where I was. So I got over there. Michael Myers was still standing there, and the couple girls with posters. They had a ton of posters. I was like, oh, my God, I ran all the way over here. I was way on the other side. And the lady was like, oh, well, here, I'll give you two for the effort. So I got two. I think I ended up with like four.
Yeah, we got some. Yeah,
so that was cool. I was happy I got that. I took the picture real quick with Michael Myers, and they said to tweet it out and put Halloween or whatever. And so I did that. And all the from then, that point on, the rest of the day, even this morning, people were still retweeting and liking the picture that I put up. I was like, dang, it was just blind. Speaking of that, I need to turn my notifications off for Halloween.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to wait because I'm going down to L.A. This weekend or tonight. And maybe they'll be doing some stuff down there because they usually kind of do a lot of things, especially down in L.A. There's always something going on. So I'll leave it on until I get back home. But then after that, we walked over to, or I met everyone over at, no, wait a minute. I'm going to go back a few hours. Yeah. I went into I hooked up with my friends, Christina and Tracy. We met them, I think like 2 years ago at an Impractical Jokers show. I went, they told me, hey, we're here. Where are you? And I said, well, all right, I'll walk over there. Because I think Renee and everybody was inside still with the badge. So I walked over there, and I did some of the I went into the Impractical Jokers block party. I got in there, and, man, it was hot standing in that line. So we got in. Luckily, there was a cool breeze. We got in, got some they gave out these tickets for food. I think I had, like, a hot dog and some ice cream, and then kind of watched the show. They were throwing all kinds of prizes out. They were throwing out sunglasses and Practical Jokers capes. I know there was a tweet they were saying that the first 200 people in line got a cape, and I figured, that was going to be it because there was no way. I don't even know if the first 200 people did get a cape, unless they came out to the line, because once you got to the very front where where you walk through security and they search your bags, it was like just a big mess. There was no kind of order. It was just a huge crowd, and everybody was going through those metal detectors. So, but when we got in, that's when they came out and they started throwing the prizes out, the capes and the sunglasses. I got a cape because I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was Joe. He threw one. I was kind of standing off the side, pretty far back, but he like threw it like a frisbee, and it came way over and landed right in front of me. So I got that. I ended up giving it to Eric. I don't know what he did with it, but I just wanted those sunglasses because they came in cool little sunglass holders. But I didn't get it. The thing that was funny though is when they were throwing those out, I guess those sunglass holders don't close, because when they were throwing them, the sunglasses were flying out one direction and the holder was going another way. So, but that was cool. We kind of walked around, and then My friend Tracy wanted to do the VR tightrope walk. And we were watching it, and it looks cool. I said, oh, this would be easy. But once you put those VR glasses on, oh, my God, it was a whole nother ball game. I could not. I just got dizzy because, when you look around every direction, it looks like you're standing on something. You put the glasses on. You get into this. You get in this elevator. And then it shoots you all the way to the top. And then, all right, start walking. Looking down, you see the tightrope in front of me, but then you look down, and it's like you're getting about to do a tightrope. And I was like, oh, man. I put my foot on the – it was just a little piece of wood, a flat piece of wood on the ground. I couldn't tell you how long it was. And I was like, okay. I was trying to get into that mindset to – I'm flat on the ground. This is just a video that I'm looking at. I put my foot down, and I was feeling around the floor going, okay, I could feel the piece of wood. I could feel both edges. Let me start going. I think I should have kind of turned sideways and shimmied along. I did the one foot in front of the other. I think that's where I messed up. And to me, it seemed like I only took a couple of steps and then I fell off. But they were saying, nah, man, you got like the farthest. He said, you got halfway out there. I said, has anyone done it? And he said, no, nobody. At this point, this is right in the beginning of when the whole block party started. He said,
nice.
He said, everyone that's gone this far, which was, I don't know how many people, he said, no one's gotten as far as you did. It's like they took one step and then fall off. So I was like, man, I wanted to try it again, but then the line was super long, and then that was it. But that was cool, though, man. I had fun in there. Like I said, I got food and everything and hung out, and then they were going to stick it out there the whole party, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back into the con, so I'll be back later. So that's when I went back inside and when we did all the photo op stuff and everything. So, but... flashing back forward to me walking back to Petco Park to meet up with everybody. We got in there, but I think the only thing that was left was drinks. I think all the food was gone and everything. Did you guys get food?
Yeah, I got one of the tickets, and I was going to get pizza, but then all they had was a hot dog. So I was like, you know what? I'll take it. And then when Renee and Eric came, they didn't have it anymore, so I wanted them to have something. So Eric got a pizza with the other thing on my card, but I got to keep the little card. It was cool, little 8-bit-ness on it. So, yeah, no ice cream, but like you were saying, they had soda and waters, and I kept that flowing. I must have had 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, man, I drank a ton of water while I was walking around, but everywhere there was any chance I got, I was trying to cut back on my soda intake, but it was free. So
right.
I was going for it on those Diet Pepsis that they had in there. Well, I remember when we were walking around, there was some kind of over by Ralph's. Renee and I were walking. I think it was Thursday. When we were walking back to the car before we went to the comedy show, Monster was handing out. We thought it was energy drinks, but it was their soda. I guess they're coming out with a new soda.
Yeah, it was like Mutant.
Yeah, it was too sweet. Yeah, I don't think I drank it all. I took a few drinks. I know I drank most of it, but I was like, man, this is sweet. I think it still had the stuff in it for the energy stuff in it, but it was just. It was a soda, and it was a little too sweet for me. But yeah, I mean, after the we got to see an advance screening of an episode is it the first episode of the new season?
Yeah, which is I think August 2nd.
Yeah, I don't even remember what was in it, but it was funny. And then after that was it. They came out and hyped everyone up, and then kicked everyone out.
Yep.
What did we do? Did we just leave after that?
Yeah, pretty much. From there, we headed to the shuttle, then back to the car, then got some food, got back to the house, and then you headed out again.
Oh, yeah. I kept the party going. shout out to my friend Tracy. She had an extra ticket to Sal Volcano's stand-up comedy show at the Balboa Theater. That's right on the corner of the Horton Plaza. So after I dropped everyone off, I didn't think I was going to make it because the show started at 10:30 and we kind of went on a little exploration getting off on the wrong exit. And then I finally got back there. I figured, you know what? He probably won't come on till later. So I dropped him off. I raced back. I parked in the same parking lot that we've been parked at all week. And because that was only like a block away or block or two from the club, so or the theater. So I went in there. I was texting Tracy. I told her, I said, look, if there's a break in between the comics, then come out and get me. But there was, my friend Christina, she came out and they zapped the ticket and I went in. And as I was walking through the lobby, I can hear whoever was on stage talking. And I was like, oh, man. And I remember her telling me that, yeah, we're sitting in the front row. Not dead center front row. And I was like, oh. So usually, like, comedians, if they see somebody walking around, that's when gives them the ammo to just start firing on you. So I was like, oh, man. I was waiting for it. I just sat down. And he looked at me when I sat down but didn't say anything. So I was like, okay, good. He was quiet and he didn't say anything. But he was only on for like a few more minutes. I can't remember his name. The next guy that came on was the MC of the whole show. He told like a joke or two and he was funny. The next comic that came on, his name is Steve Byrne. I think that's how you say his last name. He was half Korean and half Caucasian guy. He came in and did his stand up. For those of you that do know Steve Byrne, he was in that show Sullivan and Son. I don't think it's on. I think it only ran like two seasons or no, ran a few seasons. 2012 to 2014. TBS, I believe it was, but. He came on. Oh, my God. He killed it. He was hilarious. I loved every joke he had. He said he was working out some new material for a stand-up show he was doing. So he kind of had everything written down on paper. And he was like, okay, I want to try these new jokes on you guys. And I thought they were funny. I know the crowd was a little younger than me, so they weren't getting the older things he was saying during his routine. I did because I laughed at everything. So it was funny. Then after he was done, then I think it was Roy Wood Jr. came on, black comedian. Man, he was hella funny too. I liked him. And then after he was done, that's when Sal came on. And it didn't seem like Sal was on very long. It seemed like he just came out and did what he did, and then all of them came out, and then they kind of did that question and answer thing and started cracking on everybody. But I think that the guys that they really went after, there was two dudes sitting like in the second row to the left of me. I guess they fell asleep during the show, and then that was their opportunity to just fire on these two guys. They took it like champs, man. They just smiled and put their heads down. But overall, it was a good show. I thought the theater was just a little bit too big because there was a lot of seats in the back that were empty. But it was still a cool show, man. I mean, it was good to see Sal up there doing his own stuff, his routine, without Q and Joe and Murr. So it was good. I think this is the beginning of his own stand-up comedy career. I'm not too sure, but I would see him. I would definitely see him again. And but Steve Byrne, I really want to see that guy again. If he comes around here or whatever, or in San Francisco or something, I would definitely go to that because that guy was hilarious. So that was cool. And again, shout out to Tracy for hooking that up. And it was good to see you and Christina. I know I saw them a few months ago when I was down in NAMM. But it's always good to see them where we met at the Comic-Con. So it was cool. And after that, I was wrecked.
I bet.
by the time I got back to the house, Zisu and everyone else was knocked out, and I just went in and took a shower because I was all sticky and sweaty, and then I laid down, and that was it. I think Sunday morning was the latest I ever woke up because usually I got up like around 6.
Right.
The other days. So, but it was good, man. We had a blast that whole time. I knew it was going to go by super quick because I remember saying that like the first day we were there, like this is going to – it's going to just whiz by, and it did. And can't wait for next year. It's just something that we always look forward to every year. And everyone that I met down there, Matt Kelly, Brian Johnson, Ming Chen, who else did I see down there? Brody Man, the Real Dork Knight, Pedro. It was good to see you at the show. Who else did I see down there? Oh, I got to give a shout out to, the cool duder himself, YouTuber Sean C. Phillips. He's all over Instagram. He's all over YouTube. That's where I first seen him. And then we kind of met at the con a few years back and we just kind of became friends. And, we see each other, not every year. Sometimes we miss each other, at the con cause it's such a big place. But I happened to run into him and his mom and his brother, Dweebo, and I can't remember the other dude that was with him, older guy. He's on YouTube too. I can't remember his name, but I've seen his videos before. Just got to hang out with Sean for a little bit, and this is the first time that I met his mom, Kim Phillips, an awesome woman. She gave me a lot of words of encouragement because she kind of knew what myself and my family are going through. So she has a lot of good words of encouragement. So that was awesome, man. I wasn't expecting that, especially at the con. So
right.
It was awesome to talk to her. Like I said, it was first time meeting her, and I don't know what it was, man. It seemed like I could sit there and talk to her like all day because the way we were talking was like we knew each other. But I think we just had that bond of both being parents and, but it was cool. She said she had almost lost her son, Sean. He was going through some medical issues, and she was scared that she was going to lose him. And she knew how I felt and how scared, being scared and everything. So it was cool to talk to her. And like I said, I just met this woman. She didn't need to go into this big old explanation on how she felt with a total stranger. But I don't know what it was. I think she felt it too, that we felt like we both knew each other. So I thought that was cool. I will definitely see Sean again as well as his brother Dweebo. And I would really love to sit down and chat with his mom some more. So it was awesome to see you guys. Sean, you rock. Everybody, if you know who Sean C. Phillips is, you know. If you don't know, he goes by Cool Duder on YouTube. Check out his channel. Like his Facebook pages. Follow him on Instagram. He's an amazing guy. He's done a ton of movie stuff. And his YouTube videos he does all the time, pretty much every week. I think eventually I kind of want to get to that, to where we do video. Maybe not every week, but sometime. But
yeah, I definitely want to see that.
So we'll do that. But for the 3 days, that was awesome, man. We gave you the first wrap up day, right? The night of Thursday. Friday,
we got
messed up for Friday, and then this is Saturdays, which is actually Wednesday when we're doing this. But
right.
For those 3 days and everyone that listened to the past two wrap-up shows, man, thank you for listening. And that is my wrap-up for San Diego Comic-Con International 2018, day 1, 2, and 3.
All right. Yeah, and before we put a wrap on the episode as a whole, in the tradition of the first two, definitely she won't have as much because she didn't do as much, but yeah, gonna throw it to Jade, put on a wrap on her day, and then we'll bring this episode to a close.
Okay, in my defense, I actually did a lot. Okay. I didn't like move like you did. Okay. So what, the Joker thing started at like 2 or 1. Something? 1? Yeah. I got there like around like 2, and I was there the entire day. That's pretty much what I spent like all Saturday doing. There were only a couple things that I didn't do. I didn't do the VR thing because Black Mirror like hell scared me off of that, so I'm never gonna do that. And I didn't do face paint, but I wanted to. And then I signed the like health waiver for the zip lining, but I didn't get around to doing it. But I did everything else. There was a cool potato ball pit, you know, scoop ski potatoes from Practical Jokers. It was meant for like little kids. And so when I did it, I like sunk to the bottom and I was scared. I was like, I'm going to die in like a fake potato ball pit. All I could see was like half my head was peeking out. I was like, oh God. So I needed help getting out of it, but it was really fun. And then there was this like little relay race, that had, you know, like in the military and stuff, they have like tires and like exercises that you go through. Well, and for Impractical Jokers, they did the whole baby head tire thing. Tire baby. Yeah, that's what it's called. And so there were a bunch of those and it was really creepy. But a friend of mine who came to visit, we did that together and I won that. So I was proud of myself because I was like, it was hard to get through those tires since like I'm like not 7 years old anymore. It would have been funny to see someone else do it because like we were like we were teenagers, and so it would have been funny to see someone like dad's age try and get through a tire. But yeah, it was fun. All the volunteers who were a part of the experience, they were really nice and everything. They're making it fun for the kids and stuff, and they made it fun for everyone, so that was cool. What's something else I did? The best part of what was offered for me was probably the sumo wrestling, because I did it 3 times. The first time, I actually lost because it was against my friend, and he won 2 times, and I only won once. And then I did it like later in the day with Dad and Eric, and I won both those rounds, and so I felt really accomplished because I had lost my first time. But it was really fun. It was pretty crazy how you had to actually get in the sumo suit, because the first time I did it, they like laid it down and you kind of had to crawl in backwards. And then the second time I did it, the guy, he had me like stand up in it. And I was like, this feels really awkward, but okay. So I just like struggled getting in it. And the helmet kept on like going over my eyes so I could barely see all 3 times. It was really fun. What else was there? I ended up getting like 3 food cards because they handed me one on my way in since I was like the first person out of our group there. So I got one, and then I found like 2 on the ground, and one of them I gave to my friend. So yeah, that was a cool moment to have. And I got ice cream. The first thing I actually ate while I was there was ice cream because I knew they were probably going to run out. And then I had pizza later on, and I had like 5 sodas and like 3 waters. And then during it was right before I think the episode started, Murr actually came to the hill, and that's where my friend and I were. And he like was like right next to us, and so I didn't have a chance to get my phone out, but he had his phone out, and I was right next to him in his picture. And so he has me on his phone, so that's cool. So yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it was a really fun day, and it was a nice way to end the con. It was relaxing for me, so yeah.
Right, it was pretty much the opposite day for me, where you were pretty cooled out. I was everywhere. I was up and down Gaslamp to the con, running to Castle Rock, going to the Jokers, FX, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I was on the move, and
yeah, overall a great con. Broke the 10-year streak last year, but start of a new streak now, and we got to just grow this con crew and get back downtown, get a hotel down there.
Sorry, I stepped away for a second.
Yeah. Oh, you missed it. You missed it.
I missed all my good stuff.
No.
I did get some stuff.
Yeah, no problem. But yeah, no, I was just topping it off by saying that we got to grow the con crew and get a good amount of people trying for hotels. We got to get back down there, the Hilton, the Omni, Hard Rock, Marriott, one of those.
Somewhere within a block or two.
Yes. Yes. And, drop stuff off. Take a minute.
I don't know about driving again.
Right.
Might need to start flying.
But, yeah. And I mean, for you from Susanville to San Diego, that's what it was like 14 hours, I believe, 14, 15 hours. If you would have done the whole thing, which we didn't, we stopped in Sacramento, but even that was right over 12 hours, I think, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fauna for letting
Shout
us
out.
To crash at her house twice on our
Thank
way
you.
There and on our way back because, man, we were
Thankfully.
Tired.
Thankfully, yes.
I just I
needed
know.
It.
I was like, I don't know if I could have made it all the way home, but we didn't have to go as far as you.
Yes.
So it was good that we all just got there. We did sleep.
Yeah.
Slept in.
Yep.
I know last time we were there, we got up like at 4 or something like that.
Right.
And took off. But it was cool, man. I had a good time. Every time we go, we have a blast. And now we're paying for it. We got to.
Right.
I don't go back to work until next week. I'm still on vacation. I'm actually.
Now you're about to head out again.
Yeah, I'm heading out again back down south to. LA area, Culver City. Shout out to Mike, our brother Mike, man. He hooked us up with some cool shirts that he made for us. So,
a shout out.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna wear those all the time now.
So I'll be back down there probably late tonight. And yeah, man, everyone we've seen, and if we didn't see you, oh, shout out to Evelyn. We did get to see her.
Right at the end
for a little bit Saturday night, so awesome to see.
Shout
you.
Out!
Thank you so much for being a part of our lives and being a part of the show, especially for me, man. Evelyn, you rock. She also did some amazing artwork for the Macness show, and I know we met other people and all the new people we met, and I hyped. Hopefully, you guys did give the show a listen. Right on, man. Thank you so much for giving us a shot. And yeah, I think that's going to be it for this episode on my half.
Yep. Yep. That's about it. I echo Linda's statements. Thank you for listening. Thanks to everybody we encountered at Comic-Con. It was an awesome year, and yeah, can't wait for the next one. We'll do it right. We'll get back downtown. We'll get in the gas lamp.
Yeah, so everyone that's listening, and for any of you new listeners, thank you for checking us out. You can follow us on Facebook, either Zisu or I on Instagram. The Zisu is what? At the Zisu?
Yes.
And I'm just at Magnez. You can follow us on there. Listen to our Anchor stuff. I know we meant to do more. We should have just did... the wrap-ups on Anchor. I wasn't thinking.
Probably. Yeah, same here.
I wasn't thinking. We were too tired. But, yeah, you can listen there. We did do one. We did our road to Comic-Con. We did one episode when we were in Sacramento. And shout-out to that chick that was on the show. I don't even remember her name. I haven't even listened to it yet. But our waitress at
Applebee's,
yeah. I want to say Selena or Salima, something like that. I can't remember. But, yeah, listen to us on Anchor. If you guys don't have that app, listen to us on Breaker, Radio Public, CastBox. We're on Spotify. Listen to us on
everything.
Okay, here, I'm going to run down the list again. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. All the stuff that I just mentioned, those are for our Anchor feed. But you can go back. I think we have, I don't know how many episodes on there. About a handful, I would say. Good. They're short, quick episodes. You can listen to those if you want to go back. If you're new to the show, go to Podbean or iTunes. Look up Skater Nez Podcast Network and all the shows that are on there. Every single E-Society is on there. From number one to episode 103. And a ton of other junk. So feel free to listen to all of it. So again, thank you everybody for listening. Everyone we met and everyone we've seen down at Comic-Con. We will see you again next year. Shout out to Justine. I know I didn't see you this year, but I will see you sometime soon.
Yep. And on that note, I'll say goodbye and we'll see you again real soon, E-Society. Have a good one.